This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
This is Dr. Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News, in depth, analytical. And we're lucky to have Bernadine Kennedy Kent in the studio today. Very seldom do you see a whistleblower actually running for the office that she blew the whistle on. So, Bernadine, you're running for Columbus School Board. What's your motivation here?
Well, now that you said, yeah, it's fun to run for the office you're blowing the whistle on. I never thought about that, but that's good, a bit of a motivation. But most of all, the motivation is children and making sure they get a education that they deserve, make sure that they their dreams come true, and that they are treated fairly.
Well, let's focus on some of the key issues and get your perspective. Number one. Policy governance. This policy, which I know you're aware of and you've complained about, that essentially said that elected school board members couldn't go public with their concern. It had to go into these secret meetings without the public, and you couldn't really speak your mind. How did that fit into the whole problems that the school board's been facing?
Well, I thought it was interesting because it was more their problem than mine. I just wanted them to handle the complaints. But when I look at the fact that I did the No Child Left Behind tutoring fraud, I didn't even think about it earlier. And that's when I blew the whistle on these fraudulent companies that pretended to be tutoring our students. The policy governance was not in effect when I first blew the whistle, and the board didn't pay any attention to it.
And what year was that?
And that was in the end of 2005 when I made the board initially aware of it, and then aware of it in 2006. Policy government seemed to have come in 2007, and then that's when the money went under the table.
Why do you think that was?
I honestly think they wanted an excuse not to deal with the problems. I think they wanted to have a fall guy. I think with policy governance, the board would have a fall guy, whether it be the superintendent or those underneath her. That's basically how I saw policy governance. You were looking for someone to put the blame on, and they didn't want it on themselves.
Should Jean Harris have been the fall person?
Yes, but for more than what she was the fall person for. The public just isn't aware just how much Jean Harris hid and really directly knew about. They can only assume, and that's understandable, because if you don't have the facts and you don't show people the paperwork and you're not transparent, all it is guessing out there.
Now, are you satisfied as the original whistleblower, really, for the money being stolen in the No Child Left Behind program, as well as the falsification of the school records in many ways? Are you satisfied with the scope of the investigation and the penalties handed out?
With regard to the data tampering, with regard to the No Child Left Behind tutoring fraud?
Either of them. One person, I know it's ongoing, but one person has been convicted in the No Child Left Behind. Jean Harris pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor, dereliction of duty. You had, of course, the head of IT pleading guilty to a felony. But in my mind, there's a huge contrast between here and Atlanta, where the superintendent of school was indicted, facing up to 35 years in jail on felonies. So the disparity between the two, is it justified?
No, I really don't think it's justified. I think that that as I said before, I don't believe they've gotten all the data scrubbing. I think data tampering is so prevalent even in other areas of our school mm-hmm. system, and I think that they really delved into it, that they would find that, and maybe we could hold people even more accountable. But I honestly think that the people at the top really weren't trying to hold her accountable. They were just trying to slap her hand, send her away, and then really, all of them, to me, it was a slap.
Does that solve the problem?
Not at all, you know, but that was the purpose, is to give the public the impression that they solved the problem. And you know, that's Mary Jo Hudson's big thing, is that, you know, I'm making sure that, Dr. Good, I'm making sure that there's no more tampering with students' records and so forth. But, you know, he's at the top. He has no idea what's going on within the administrations, within these different departments. He's just, you know, a person that assumes he knows, but he doesn't.
Are you confident that if it began to happen again today, there are procedures in place that would stop it from happening again?
Well, no. I think that what they would do is, again, do what they did before. They would cover it up until some kind of way it comes out.
Would it make a difference with you on the school board in terms of their ability to cover these type of scandals up?
Yes, it would be difficult, because one of the things that bothers me about the data tampering is that it was auditors that knew about it, and they really shut the auditors down. Even the
shutting them down to the point where they were gone,
silenced. And for me, which is what I've always done, if you don't get the school system to do what they're supposed to do, then you go to the next level. And they really, people tend to complain within the school system or to the school board, and then when they don't do anything, they're done with it. I'm a person that will go outside the school board. You don't want to do your job? Okay, well, then I'll take it to the Ohio Auditor State, Ohio Attorney General. I'll take it to the U.S. Department of Education. I will take it wherever I need to go in order to get something done and to get it stopped. And that would be the difference for me.
Would you be able to do that as a school board member?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
But that would mean you weren't a good team player.
In that instance, I would not be a good team player. I'm not a good team player to agree with fraud. I'm not a good team player to agree with a cover-up. So you are totally correct. I would not be a good team player for criminal activity or illegal activity or abuse of children. I would not be a good team player.
And I think one of the tragedies of the scandal is two of the board members probably most opposed to this activity, who spoke up in private meetings, both lost re-election, in part not because they condoned it, but because they weren't willing to go outside and go up the ladder, so to speak.
Correct, right. Yeah, you're right. The two board members really did not condone it. Many times when they had votes, they abstained from the vote. One of them just didn't show up because she didn't want to deal with it. But you're right. If they had gone further and gone outside the school system, it would have been great.
Is it safe to say you gave them the information they needed to go outside the school system?
Yes, I gave them information. I don't know what fear grabs them, but obviously you better have your ducks in a row. You better not have any skeletons in your closet at all, or you may have
a
problem.
Are you suggesting that there may be a little political blackmail involved?
Yes, well, after what happened to one of the board members and looking at her husband, and they had to have known. I mean, she's been on the board forever. He's had the company forever. Mm-hmm. They paid him the money, so you knew what the deal was. But suddenly, they decided to go after it, you know.
So you're not worried they're going to come after you in that way?
No, I don't have any money. And our organization, the Parent Advocates of Students, our organization does not get any kind of taxpayers' dollars, and we never charge anyone for our services, and we like it like that.
Okay, so we're talking with Bernadine Kennedy Ken, running for the Columbus a school board. Do you ever reflect at sort of what goes through people's minds and in these situations? I mean, people, why they don't speak out? And do you think it's your... you've been described on occasion as a contrarian personality. Is there something about your personality that propels you to speak
out? Angry black woman? Is that am I there? Angry black woman? What's that movie?
Along.
Is that movie or whatever? But just someone that's not going to go along. But it's, to me, it really is frightening when you go up the stat, challenge the powers to be, because they sick the police on you. They do really all kinds of things to try to...
To the extent that you became a chronic complainer, you were actually on a list with people that were documented to be mentally ill.
Right.
But the key difference is, while they were delusional, turning in delusional crimes, you were turning in major criminal investigation, and they weren't taking your complaint.
Right, right. I mean, when you don't take the complaint and you have all the proof that children are being abused, it's confessed to, it's in the police records, and you just don't want to hear about it. That's kind of frightening to think that that people could be so into the political system, into covering their own behinds, that no one matters but themselves, and that's kind of frightening in this society.
Well, what propels you? What drives you forward? I'm thinking at a certain point, it's got to be irritating, if not maddening and frustrating, when they're not taking your complaints, and you know you're factually sound, you know you're not delusional, you know you have the evidence, and it doesn't go forward.
Well, I have those moments where they seem to think that I am some type of demigod. And, you know, where they have, I don't know, they just think I have powers. And at that time, I'm like, okay, well, then I'll use the powers you think I have. But it is, it's frustrating.
But your power really is based on research and facts, right?
It's based on...
I mean, that's your ultimate power, is that the complaints you bring forward are very well researched and documented.
And that's correct. And what it is I continue to try to put them in different people's hands. If you won't take it, then maybe that person will take it. If that person won't take it, well, let me slip it to the media. The media will report about it. And that's, like I said, that's why the Free Press and independent groups are so important in Columbus rather than the mainstream media. But what I've been lucky with the mainstream media, and I think that when they, like you were saying, I tell people all the time, if you go to the mainstream media, you really have to have your stuff well documented, and they can.
Well, the old rule of thumb is, you have to write the story for them.
Yeah, you pretty
much. Or provide them the information where they don't have to do the
information. They don't have to do. That's pretty much what Bill Bush said. You know, they don't have the time anymore because they're working so many different jobs on that dispatch. They don't have the time that they used to have. They put them on so many different areas of reporting.
And Bill Bush just wrote an article that included you, the first school board debate, and he did in fact give you credit as the whistleblower that broke the scandal on No Child Left Behind.
Yes, I even wrote him an email and said, thank you for giving me credit for that. And probably part of it was probably because the two board members who knew about it, they wouldn't listen to me in the first place about the checks going to mailboxes and P.O. boxes.
And we're talking about old-fashioned organized crime, money laundering, falsifying public records, and taking checks for not tutoring kids.
Correct. And they gave me... You know, our organization credit for all of that at that forum, and then tried to absolve themselves of having known about it earlier. But we corrected them, and I think that's why he went on and wrote something about it. And I'm hoping, you know, as I said to him, since it is an ongoing investigation, I'm hoping that more will be written about this issue before the public. I think it's unfair. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfair for the public to vote for, not know before they vote in the mayor's race that Terry Boyd and Andy Ginther knew about the No Child Left Behind.
Do you think both of them are too tainted to be mayor of the city by the scandal?
Right, and it's something that I know personally. It's not something where someone's telling me. It's what I've taken to those two that they have covered up. You know.
Well, this is WCRS 98.3, 102.1 FM. You're listening to The Other Side of the News. I'm in the studio with Bernadine Kennedy Kent, school board candidate and whistleblower extraordinaire. Now, you were saying that you actually took information to both Boyd and Ginther about the scandal involving the theft of millions of dollars in federal funds from the Columbus Public Schools?
Yes, took it to them in 2006, late 2005 and 2006, and they just ignored it, and there was nothing I could say. And at that time, the mayor's office was acting as a provider who did not qualify to be a provider on the list. There was absolutely no way their office should have been on the
list. I don't understand this. You're saying the office of the mayor of Columbus was a provider for No Child Left Behind low-income tutoring?
Correct.
The office of the mayor?
Correct.
Where was this done at? In the public building?
I have no idea where they did the tutoring. All I did was see the checks that were sent to the mayor's
office. And who were the checks made out to?
To the treasurer's office of the mayor. To the treasurer's office.
Okay, so you took information. Andy Ginther, who's running for mayor and is now the council president, and he was the man who received the original whistleblower reports that there was data tampering as well, was he not?
Correct.
And at the same time, he's receiving information from you that people are stealing millions of dollars from the school system?
At the same time. And he was the chairman. What was so shocking was both Boyd and Andy Ginther was their positions. Terry Boyd was the president of the school board, and Andy Ginther was the chairman of the Audit and Accountability Committee. It should have never gotten by those two, what was reported.
And that's a period of time where they actually got rid of the internal auditor. I think it was Tina Abdullah. They got rid of her, who was looking into the scandal.
Yeah, she was looking at the data tampering.
Do you think that's why she was let go?
Probably. That's usually what happens. They let you go when you try because...
You're doing too good of a job of auditing.
Right. My understanding is in talking to one of the auditors that worked under them, they tried to say something about that data tampering, and wanted to look at some records and were told, no, you're not going to be able to look at anything, it's done.
And in the levy, which was put forward by the mayor's office, because you said the mayor was involved... in providing some of the service in whatever way he did that. But their proposal was to get rid of the internal auditor, which was the only person down there that was given any assistance on any level to looking into the matter.
That's true. However, I had a problem with that auditor also because she knew about the No Child Left Behind tutoring fraud. So although she did what they wanted her to do from powers to be with the data tampering, she covered up the No Child Left Behind tutoring fraud and the money and the identity theft.
Is that why you went to the state auditor?
Correct, because she was told to sit down, shut up.
And that interferes with a narrative, right? Because part of the school board plan, obviously, Gene Harris was said we turned ourselves in.
Correct. What was so great about it, though, is at the same time when the Ohio Auditor of State wrote it up, he wrote it up by saying, yes, Gene Harris contacted us in May and requested that we do a special audit, but we had already started in January. We had already gotten the information.
And that was really based on you going to the auditor. You and your husband, James Whitaker, who was involved in collecting a lot of this data, I know I saw it, the Free Press saw it, I saw it in my capacity as an attorney, but really it was you who went to the auditor and started that whole investigation.
Correct, correct. And what's so shocking is that I think you remember we started writing stories on it. I think the first story was in September, and I think the next story was in November. And so you're writing it all out in a public story, and I'm sending the stories to the board members because I want to let them know. And they just really just ignored it because in 2007, the board never approved the No Child Left Behind providers anymore. Once the U.S. Department of Education came down to do that audit, that's when they put approval of the No Child Left Behind providers under the treasurer's office, which means the board never approved them for the next 40 years. And $20 million
went out.
That was intentional. That's what I mean about taking it out of their hands so that they're not responsible, but allowing the fraud to continue.
How much of that money do you think ended up not going to the kids in actual tutoring? How much of it was defrauded from the public?
99.9%.
So somewhere out there's one lone honest tutor with a couple kids.
Right. Somewhere out there, because I do know one woman was saying that, and I believe that she was honest, and she was very upset. She says, now, if I do this audit, that the Ohio Department of Education finally decided to audit them to see if they're financially sound, she says, so if I pay for this audit, you guys aren't going to just shut it down. And the other thing that everyone has to recognize is that how do you tutor thousands of students? You claim you tutor thousands of students, but then when the tutoring program is shut down, not one parent complained that I'm not getting my tutoring anymore. Not one, not across the whole state. No, not even the tutoring companies were upset because they all knew that it was just fraud.
Well, it looked like it was just simple money laundering, right? Here's the federal money. If you submit this paperwork, not a product, not a verified product, but just paperwork, because in some cases, wasn't it literally the laundering of student names to get checks?
Correct. In fact, the one guy that they did charge, arrest, and sentence, he had absolutely not one, not one student that he tutored. They went to all the parents, and not one had been tutored by the man. But some got quite a bit of money, and in New York, one tutor got $40 million off of one school system, and when they went to look at the records, not one child had been tutored.
Now, as you think about this, what is going on? I mean, it seems like we used to live in a society where people didn't sit around and go, you know, there's a bunch of poor children in desperate need of tutoring.
Yeah.
How can I steal their money?
Right, right.
I mean,
when you
reflect on this, what is happening?
They're easiest group to steal from. It'll be the Title I funds, and it would be also students with disability. Those are the federal funds that they take.
Okay, so let's ask you a little about your campaign. You're out there, you're running for school board. What are you doing? How can people get involved?
I'd like them to definitely know more about me by Googling my website, www.voteforkentforcolumbusschoolboard. And I'd like them to let me contact me at 805-2322. To get signs in their yard, to pass out flyers, if they have businesses, they can put signs in their business windows. That would be very appreciative. And that's pretty much what I'm doing. I've got my picture on pretty much everything, so you know who I am, and I'm just trying to get my face out there, my name out there, and my message out there.
Is it a struggle? Are you getting a lot of money? It seems like all the cash cows you could have got the money from, you blew the whistle on.
Well, you know, we are financing our own campaign, and it's sad, but we don't really trust anyone because, as I said, the police, they will do anything. So we've been very wary of taking money from anyone, and then someone said, oh, well, they got that person that gave you money. This was the problem with their money. So what we try to do is finance it ourselves. What we want is just someone that's willing to work hard to get our name out there, get my name out there, and to get me in the top four in the primary would be really great, and that's what I'm working for.
Okay, as the election comes up, you want to move past the primary? Say you do, which I'm hoping you do, and you get elected. What's the first few things you're going to do once you hold office? Bernadine Kennedy Kent is elected to the school board. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm almost afraid to say because I might be killed. But just to just say it'd be some of those things that'd get you killed over.
So,
because that's what I plan to do first. Some of those things.
There was a recent analysis coming forward suggesting at the school board debate that perhaps the attack on the late great Bill Moss allowed these scandals to happen, because there was a lot of grassroots forces that were out there around one school member. A lot of times they'll say one school member can't make a difference, but he was able to galvanize a lot of other people.
That's what it was.
Even if they didn't agree with him totally on everything, and he was allowed to give people a little independent space, right, and listen to what they were saying in public and allowing them to air their grievances.
And then commenting on those grievances, whereas most of the time you go to the podium and they listen to you for 3 minutes and then there's never a comment. And what he did was...
Time's up. Thank you for your comment.
Right. That's what they would do. And that's really the model for me that I want. If I can't get those seven...
They're stealing money.
Right.
Thank you for your comment.
Right. But as you said...
They're stealing money.
Yeah. But if you made comments and you went to the people, I just plan to spend a lot of time talking to the people out there, being transparent and letting them know what's going on. You know, so if you're counting on me to keep it a secret, it's not going to happen.
They're tampering with all the records. Thank you. Your 3 minutes is up.
Yeah, that's about it. Oh, no, the security is when they call the security to take.
Step away from the podium.
Step away from the podium.
You are trespassing at the podium.
Yeah. That's when it becomes bad.
So how do you see the job of a school board member?
I see the job of a school board member, first of all, making sure that our money's not being fraud, waste, and abuse. I think that's a big part of their job. And to making sure that the funds and services and everything are really going into our children to help them succeed. I do see that as part of their job. And that's it. And you do those two things, we should really be fine.
Well, we got 2 minutes left. What do you want to tell the listeners on the other side of the news?
Well, I do want to say that I am prepared and qualified to be on the school board, and I got prepared and qualified because of my vast experience of being a teacher, an assistant principal, having worked at Ohio State and also at the Juvenile Detention Center, being a whistleblower, a proven whistleblower and a proven watchdog. And I've shown before I get the title that I will work hard and I will stand up for children.
So you've been an administrator, you've been a vice principal, you've been a teacher, you broke major scandals, really a unique set of skills for a school board member.
Correct, and that's what I think I have. You know, and I don't know what of the three they would vote for, but I know that I should be one of the four.
Well, let me advocate to people that they might just want to narrow their vote to one person and enhance that vote. It's what we call bullet voting.
Okay.
Is that, from my perspective, if you really want change on the school board, the person to vote for is Bernadine Kennedy Kent. Thanks for being on
the
other side of the news.
Thank you for having me.